Hello and welcome to the Substance of Life. Today we are with two dynamic young women. They are mothers, they are sisters, and I know that you're probably wondering, why am I interviewing them today? Well, today is a very special day. These young mothers are 21st century moms with 21st century babies, and you know, motherhood is the most precious thing that one can go through. And today we also have a visit from Mr. Kai, who happens to be with us. And he is the most beautiful, handsomest little baby you have ever seen. But he has given his mother just a run for her money. So we have Tia and we have her sister Corinne. And we have Mr. Kai. So today's conversation is going to be all about motherhood and pregnancy and going through all of those wonderful things in the 21st century. I am a 20th century mom, so it makes quite a bit of a difference. But Tia and Corinne, welcome to the Substance of Life. I'm so glad that you could join us today.
Thank you so much.
So you ladies are 21st century mommies. Tell me, what was it like when you found out that you were pregnant?
Well, you could go first because you found out first.
I did find out first. And everyone knew except my sister, because she was trying and I was not trying.
And you were not trying.
I was not trying. So I was scared to tell her.
I feel like I'm going to cry.
I know. I was scared to tell her because she was going through like all of the hormones and everything like that, and it was just so easy for me to become pregnant. And I told my mom, and she was like, you should just tell her. And I was like, I'm just not ready. And I was coming home from work one day, and I told her, and she started crying on the phone. I didn't even cry since I found out, and it was probably maybe what, like a week and some change after I found out.
It was in June of 2018.
So It was a lot. It was stressful for me to tell her.
It was stressful for you to tell her. To tell your sister, as opposed to your mother. How interesting.
Wow.
And my mom was very good
about
that.
It.
She didn't know. Tia, how did you feel when you found out you were pregnant?
When I found out I was pregnant? Okay, so like Corinne said, you know, my husband and I, we've been trying for a very long time. We've been together since 2012, and I've never been pregnant before, but when I knew that Noah was going to be my husband, I knew that we wanted to have children, and we actually started trying, not trying around the time that we got engaged, like in 2014, and it's just been really difficult. It was a challenge, like, every month, you know, we would think that something would happen, and it didn't. We actually, this is hard to even talk about. We actually seeked, you know, fertility treatment.
Aren't those expensive?
They are expensive, but in the state of New York, you know, it's free.
Oh, no, I did not know
that. Yes. Fertility treatment is free in New York. Georgia, you have to have a certain insurance or, you know, decent insurance, and then they either cover about 50% or my job, it used to be 100%, but then they went down to about 75-60%. So that was just something for us to think about. We knew that we were in the midst of getting married, we were building a home, but we still wanted to see, you know, hey, let's see if we can have a baby. And it's just been a rocky road for several years, since like 2014. After we got married in 2016, you know, we moved into our new home, and then we really went back at it again, said, hey, let's try to, you know, start our family. And it just wasn't happening. It was like 2 years of consistent trying. We even tried like little things, you know, not, I wouldn't say this, the turkey baster, but it was something before we went, you know, to seek the medical treatment.
It's funny that you say that, but the wise tales, you know, I remember
it was kind of like a turkey baster.
Go get some Vicks Formula 44
for it to you.
He had to do it.
It was a
And then you
Well, it wasn't wasn't exactly like that, but yeah. But it basically, I can't remember what the product was called, but it was a new innovative product. And you had your syringe. He had to go, you know, do his thing in a cup. You take in a syringe, and then you put it up in you. So we went from that. We tried that. I had girlfriends that said, hey, try Geritol.
Yes, I'm Geritol. No, but wait a minute now. I'm taking Geritol. Was back in my day.
Listen.
You Geritol? What's Geritol?
I'm just
so
not
we have another individual
pills like that.
That we need to introduce before we get started. Paula. It's okay, Paula. You join the conversation.
We can hear you.
Yes, we can hear you. So if it sounds like everyone in the room has a New York accent.
Yes.
It's because everyone in the room is from New York.
Okay.
So now that I have opened that door, but Paula mentioned the Geritol. Because she, unbeknownst to our audience listening, Paula is also a 20th century mom. Okay. I'm just going to put that out there. She's a 21st century.
Of twins.
So she had not one baby, but two babies. And so the Geritol, that was, I don't know if that was a fable or not, but, you know,
My girlfriend told me.
The Geritol, the vitamins.
Don't have any stress in your life.
Geritol is a woman's vitamin. Originally, if I
was
can remember.
Was the first woman's vitamin.
Was the first woman's vitamin.
A pill or
it was liquid.
It's a liquid, but it's also a pill, too.
Like a liquid. Okay.
And but it's so potent.
You would take it. It was so potent. It was supposed to thin out the uterus or something. I don't know. But it was it was an overpotent female vitamin that, you know, growing up, Paul and I were told, take the Geritol. That's going to help you.
That's going to help you.
Ovulate and get fertile and the whole nine. Do you think Geritol worked?
She said,
it's a baby in every bottle. And I think I got some friends that kind of proved it right.
Exactly.
Okay.
So with that, I just wasn't consistent. I started taking the Geritol, but I just wasn't consistent in taking the pills because it wasn't happening when I wanted to happen.
Right, okay.
So I just said, you know what, this is not working. So my husband was like, well, maybe we need to, you know, talk to your doctor. Let's go see your OBGYN. So I went to my OBGYN, you know, around that time, and I told him, hey, we're ready to try, but it's just not happening. Well, she said, have you been trying for 6 months because of my age? I'm 35 now, but at the time, I think I was like 32, 33, whatever. I can't even remember, but around there. So she said, if you've been trying for more than 6 months or 6 months or more, then we can start to try to see what was going on. So, you know, since it's been around that time frame, she started doing tests to check my eggs, to check, you know, to make sure I didn't have any fibroids, you know, all those things. And everything checked out fine. And we just were not getting pregnant. She was like, well, there's nothing going on. You know, it's just, just keep trying. It's just not time yet. So I just didn't want to hear that. So we continued to try. And month after month, it was a really depressing feeling. I was becoming so depressed, and nobody would know it. I feel like I'm gonna cry now, but
I understand because Paula got pregnant before I did.
Once she puts her mind to something, she tries and tries.
And
tries,
I was
tries,
the tries. Only one.
And I didn't have children. I was very late. I was very late, and I wasn't getting pregnant either.
Really?
But because somebody told me.
Our friends had babies. Our friends were having babies.
Back to that.
And we were
in
having
the early
babies.
Yeah.
Me and Gloria would sit on the bench and be like, we are the only ones
here
that do not have babies.
Right. I felt like that too at one
That's
point.
That's why the Lord blessed me
with
two.
A lot of my friends have children. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how old were you when you got pregnant?
I was 25.
25. So,
I was 29.
Yeah, but people were, at that time, they were having babies much younger.
Yes, younger.
So,
18, 19, 20.
Yeah,
20. All the friends. Everybody had babies.
Right after high school, all my friends were having kids.
Yeah.
But you know what? Down here, like my friends in Georgia, we grew up in New York and we all moved down here. You know, I don't know if because we're so career oriented.
Children.
My friends are not pregnant. I have one friend that has a family that has children, maybe two, that are here. But all my other girlfriends, they're not pregnant. And they're going on 36, 37. You know,
women are waiting until they're much older.
Right.
In order to have kids.
They're waiting to settle
and
with
for your generation, what I'm finding is, it's not just to have the career. It's to be settled in the career, maybe be an entrepreneur, maybe travel the world, and then decide, okay, now I want to have kids.
Well, that was me. I knew that I wanted to find my husband, mm-hmm. you know, get everything situated, and then we could work on our family. Then, or find the person I was going to marry, and then, you know, we do what we do, which is true. Yeah. You know, because I have girlfriends that are in their 40s that just had their first child. You know, it's, yeah, it's crazy.
I couldn't
crazy.
Even imagine, Paula, having
a baby
at 40 years old.
I have a girlfriend now. She's 42. She's going on 43. She's trying to have, she married again. Her husband, never been married, doesn't have children. A girlfriend of mine, she's older, she's 42. And she's trying to have a baby now, but she's lost two already. Okay. So this is her third attempt,
you know?
So
what?
It's so much difficult. It's more difficult now.
It's
yeah.
the stress, it's diet. Yeah. Yes. It's a combination of a lot of things.
It's diet.
Your mental state.
Your mental state.
Stop counts a lot. Yeah. Because if you're stressed and you're carrying this baby, this is what your baby is.
Your baby's going to be stressed.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Gonna be stressed. Exactly. Yeah.
So to move.
Okay. Yeah, maybe. I was very stressed during my pregnancy.
Were you?
Yes. Like, it was...
And I'm glad you opened the door, because now I want to move into the realm of, my God, I'm pregnant, I'm showing, I'm feeling life inside me, I got all this going on. Tell me, how was that?
I just feel like we were complete opposites. She was so excited. I was not excited.
You were not excited.
No.
But Corinne, you're not a very...
I'm very nonchalant.
You're very chill. You and Ashley are just alike.
It takes me a lot.
And y'all were just alike as pregnant.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was not excited. Mm-mm. And it was...
Because when your
it
kid
was just
calls
very
you
stressful.
Say, I'm pregnant. Are you mad? Because I am.
Yeah. What? It was just really stressful for me.
You're old.
For one, not saying I was like... I felt like I was in competition. I wasn't in competition, but she's older than I am. She knew what she wanted to do. She had her career. She was getting married. Well, she was married at the time, and I'm still trying to figure out what I'm doing. Mm. I'm 29 at this point, figuring out what I'm doing, living with my parents, you know.
And just trying to figure life out.
Just figure out who am I? Like, what am I doing?
And that happens to a lot of women.
Yeah. So my pregnancy was very, 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 very stressful. Mm. And then me and his father weren't on good terms at the time. And I ended up having him early.
Way early.
Really
she was so
early.
Because
I was so stressed. Yeah. Okay. So I ended up having him at 33 weeks instead of, full term.
Right.
So it just was a lot.
It was a lot for her.
How was your pregnancy?
And I hate to say this, like,
but my baby turned out so happy.
Yeah, so happy.
Such a happy baby.
My pregnancy was good.
Really
good. Like, I don't know, because I just prayed on it, whatever. It just happened. But like how I was saying before, like my husband and I, just to back up a little bit, like we went through fertility treatment. We did IUI, which is a artificial insemination, that thing. We did have to do that 3 times, and that didn't work. The next step was going to be in vitro. But that was where the price came. It was just too expensive. So we were like, look, let's just take a breather. And I was going, the meds that I was taking for those IUIs, it had me up and down. Yes. I was going crazy. That's why when my sister told me, I was so emotional because I was going through it at that point.
I kept asking her, I was like, are you pregnant?
And I was like, no.
She would cry.
I would just cry out of nowhere.
I'm like, what?
And it was the medication?
But from before, but then I
was still in you.
Right, it was still in me, but I was taking a break at that time because I was trying to figure out if we were going to do the in vitro.
Yeah.
And then Corinne found out she's pregnant in June. August, I found out I was pregnant.
Oh, wow.
So that's why I was just all over the place, but... I just left it in God's hands, and then my pregnancy was real.
She was amazing.
It was good. It was a good pregnancy. Like I was
off running.
Okay. Yes.
I was like, how is she still this fast?
I was still working out. I was just like,
you didn't change your routine.
I didn't change my routine. I've been, because I was trying before, so I stopped drinking caffeine.
Okay.
I was exercising regularly. Just changed everything. So I just went into it, and it was just. It was cool, and I feel so bad because my sister was going through it, and I'm just like, la da dee, la da da.
Literally, and I was like, you know what?
She was a happy camper.
Yeah, and I kind of, sheltered myself in the house.
Like, I'm like, come on, let's do this.
Need to get out.
I was trying to bring her out. Let's do this. She's like, Tia, come on. And I'm
because
like,
it is very rare that two sisters
pregnant at the same time.
I'm like, you know, that to me.
But
is,
that's our family.
Is family and joyful.
Think about it. We've all of us think about it. Y'all are all close.
We're really all close together.
Y'all, we all fall right in line with each other. Mm. One start the pattern and we all fall right in line.
That is
with
true.
Each other.
Yeah.
Think about it. Yes. You just fell last.
I was last, and I think, and I know why I was last.
Because you was further away from us.
I was away from family, but also I was, you know, had gone to the military and was seeking to have the career.
Yes.
Before I even thought about having a family. And I wanted to, you know, it's not so much that.
And you were thinking that beforehand, like you were thinking
that was always in my mind.
Yeah, yeah.
I had. You know, I'm going to be a writer. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be a playwright. I'm going to be a dancer. I'm going to join the military.
Wow.
You know, I'm going to do all these things that I want to do because back then, you know, it was, I don't want to be 40 and wish I could have, should have and didn't.
Right.
I don't want to be, oh, why didn't I do X, Y, and Z? And
if that,
and
if
then,
that,
and then have that cloud over me. So yeah, at the age of 29, I'm sitting up in somebody's clinic going, oh my God, I am pregnant. And it just keeps growing and growing. And I was huge. I delivered a 10-pound baby.
Wow.
Yes. Naturally,
What?
But basically,
no, ma'am.
By myself.
Because nobody was there.
Because I didn't have
any family
with me. Because you got to remember, I was away from home. I was in the military.
That's my own.
And But you know what? Ooh. I'm going to tell you something. My pregnancy was different because I did not have any labor pains. Devin was so big, the water... If it broke, I never knew.
Wow.
And I just felt 10 funny.
10 pounds.
10 pounds. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to go to the hospital. So now I'm going to bring us up to the point of delivery.
Okay.
So in the 20th century, you know, they will you in the room. Oh, I don't know if you dilated. Mm-hmm. I need you to walk the halls. Mm-hmm. Did you eat anything? And see, back in the day, this is what I was expecting. I was expecting for someone to come in and shave me and
back in the day they did that.
Yes,
honey,
Somebody told me about the enema.
Yes,
don't jump off the table.
That enema.
Yes. So you don't poop during labor.
Yeah. Oh, so they don't do that now. They just let you poop.
No.
This is why there's such a difference. They would come in. They would shave you. And then they would give you an enema to
clean you out and
make sure that everything was okay.
I was struggling.
And then if you needed to get, you know,
she was struggling for that labor.
He came very unexpected.
I can tell.
The next week, I was like, I planned a wax and do it. He came early.
So he was early.
I was in labor. I was having contractions at work and did not know.
You didn't feel it or you just didn't know what was going on.
I was just very uncomfortable.
I went through that with Alicia. I worked all day long. She's working a 12-hour day. I worked 12 hours sitting down. I did the same thing.
I couldn't sit down for the entire 12 hours. I'm like, and I'm, you know, just moving back and forth.
And you're behind. She texted me too, like, I think these may be labor pains.
But
she sent me an article.
But Tia
was
like,
Braxton Hicks or was it full force labor pains?
Tia was telling me about the Braxton Hicks. I'm like, I don't think they're Braxton Hicks. I felt like I didn't think they were Braxton Hicks. But she was like, you know, informing me on like, she's very informational. So she told me everything.
So you did your research.
She told me stuff before I even
pregnancy
like Googled
book.
It. So I'm like, but she was telling me about Braxton Hicks. But I'm like, these do not feel like Braxton Hicks. These felt like something. I kept going to the bathroom. And I wasn't like a bathroom pregnancy person. I didn't use the bathroom a lot.
I didn't use the bathroom a lot.
So I'm at work like, I'm taking calls, breathing hard. And you know, you're on a recorded line. So they just hear air like, I'm like, you know, what sheet are you on? What's going on? And I have to keep going to the bathroom. And finally, I get off at 6 o'clock. I get home. And my parents are like, you know, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm just going to go to sleep. I'm really tired. My dog, we're like really close. He wouldn't come near me.
Oh, wow.
Nothing. You know, dog sense.
That's really interesting.
He had
that the dog
tail,
knew.
He had his tail between literally his between legs. His legs.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, what's wrong with him? He would not come. He stayed literally away from me.
Oh, wow.
So I go to sleep. And, you know, I'm asleep. I'm dreaming. And then I cough in my sleep. And I'm like, what is that? A gush.
Really?
Yeah. And this Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh!
I go to sleep before the game comes on. I'm asleep. Gush. This is about 10 o'clock. Wake up. I wake up. And then I tell my mom. I'm like, Mom, I think something's wrong. And she's like, what, Corinne? What are you talking about? I'm like, don't panic. Because if you panic, I'm going to panic. So I'm talking like very calm. Like, Mommy, I think my water broke. I went to the bathroom, you know, clear fluid and everything came out.
Okay.
Then my dad gets up and he's like, I got to call the ambulance and all like that other stuff. And then I ended up being admitted on Super Bowl Sunday.
On Super Bowl Sunday.
Man.
So what was it like for you, Tia?
Well, it wasn't like that. yeah, my water didn't break. My midwife, she was like, we're going to induce you because we don't want you to go any longer than 40 weeks. Because I was 40 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And I was still going. Like, hey, she would check me. I was one. She was like, oh, you're 1 centimeter, but you're still high and mm-hmm. all of this stuff. So she was like, you know, we don't want you to go past. And I think it was because of my age. I was 34. So she induced me at 40 weeks. And I went in on April 17th, and I was there for 26 hours.
Oh,
like, I was induced at, like, 3 in the morning,
oh,
5 in the morning, 3 in the morning or something like that on the 17th of April. Mm-hmm. And it was so painful when this nurse mm-hmm. put something behind my cervix. I didn't even know you can go behind your cervix. And I was there and just trying to see if my water was going to break, and I went to the bathroom. It was like 8 hours in. I went to the bathroom and I had to pee. I was so delusional. I was in pain getting the morphine mm-hmm. and stuff. And my husband said he heard a gush.
Well,
he
minute.
Was like, I think your water broke. I was like, no, I just had to really use the bathroom. I don't think it was that. So I just go back. I didn't call the nurse or nothing. And then she come back in. She checked me. She was like, your water broke. She was like, your water broke. So you...
A few minutes later?
Yeah, no. And she just wasn't coming. I wasn't dilating the way that I needed to dilate.
You didn't start contracting
all not like that. It was like it broke. But then she's telling me that it was a bag inside of a bag or something. They had to pop another bag mm-hmm. for the rest of my water to break or something like that. It was weird. But I was there for a long time. A long time.
But 26 hours.
How long was it?
I was there for 28.
Oh, it was like 26, 24,
yeah,
26.
Like,
well, yeah, but you know, it's funny because my doctor has said, you know, women push for a long time, Angela, and they push for hours. I said, look,
not gonna do
I don't have that kind of time.
I was mad.
Catch him because he's coming out on this next push.
But I thought I was going to have her naturally. That was my whole goal. Corinne had Cairo naturally.
Oh, you wanted a natural shower.
Yeah. Well, not I mean, I wanted
without
her vaginal. No, I wanted the medicine, but I wanted to have her vaginally.
Awesome.
Yeah. I wanted to have her
really
vaginally.
Like,
really
wow.
She had him vaginally, but
five
I just
pushes and he,
she wasn't. I wasn't dilating. She wasn't trying to come, so
yeah,
I had to get a C-section.
So so now baby's here.
Yes.
As we can hear.
Yes.
Right, Mr. Cod.
All right, guys.
Parenthood. Parenthood is a whole nother ball game, especially in the 21st century.
Yes.
So you know. I know with us in the 20th century, there might have been some books out there that one read, but we often listen to older mothers to get their advice mm-hmm. on parenting mm-hmm. and mothering. And I remember with Devin, 3 days of life, this child was not sleeping. He was not getting enough food. Mm-hmm. And someone said to me, it was my mother-in-law at the time. She said, look, this is what you need to do. You take a little bit of cereal and put it in that baby's bottle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you need to take a little bit of Cairo syrup and put it in that baby's bottle and shake
it
up real well.
Cairo syrup? I've never heard that.
Look, okay, because...
I have it right
upstairs. White Cairo syrup.
The Cairo syrup...
They told me dark.
Well, because babies got constipated.
Mm-hmm.
And he would get constipated. And that helped clear him out.
Mm-hmm.
But when I put that, he went to sleep. And he slept the whole night.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my God, that really worked. That was so weird. But see, that's what 20th century mothering at the time looked like. So tell us about 21st century mommying.
Well, my mother would say, I probably think I know everything. So I research everything and, you know, I'm always questioning, well, what about this? So, you know, they would say, hey, this is what you need to do. And I'm like, well, I read that this says this. And it's like, you know what, Tia, just do what you want to do. And then eventually now and forever, I listen to what they say because they know. You know, right. And then I also have a husband that, you know, he's like, well, no, let's read this and this, this and that. But no, I believe in that old, you know, school teaching of how you should gain that wisdom on how to raise your children because it works. It does. I try to do it my way thinking I know what I'm doing, but I don't.
Correct. So, what about you?
She had no choice.
Back and forth because it's different because I'm with them. So they tell me stuff to do and I try it. But I do Google. I do Google a lot.
You do.
I would Google your research first before I say something to them. And I would try both and see how
that works. Yeah. Okay. So in today's society, you know, there are at least three things that every parent kind of struggles with. The first thing is foods. So when you start introducing foods to your child, what was the first thing that came across your minds?
I didn't have a struggle with him though. He transitioned really well.
So, but I mean, you know, back in the day, we had We had Gerber.
He's on beach nut.
Tia, what do you do?
I make her food.
You make her food.
We're like two different.
Where is the cape supermom? You make her food. Okay, tell us how you do this.
So I get all organic, vegetables or fruits. I researched and found out what the first safe foods were for children that were transitioning into, you know, starting to eat and everything. And I started her out first on sweet potato. She also had avocado, pear, apple. She loves yellow squash, zucchini. She is just amazing. And I enjoy making her food, you know, because I try to get Corinne to, you know, try to do it. But I know she works tremendous hours and, you know, I'm still at home right now, so it's a little difficult, but it's so easy. You can do it. It's simple. But it's super easy. You just boil or steam it and you know what's going into your baby's mouth, even though, you know, Gerber, beech nut, that's good. But I just feel like, my opinion, you know, they have a shelf life. They've been on the shelves for so long. It's nothing like making your child's food.
We're very
different. You know, time to do it.
I see the dynamics.
Like, we're so different. She's very like, of course, I'm hands-on as well.
Yeah, she is.
She's very like, I'm doing everything by myself.
I know. And you're doing a great job, Corinne.
I'm very
wonderful job.
Fishing, I'm doing everything that's going to be like, what is going to benefit me to make it the fastest possible?
Because like, you have a time schedule.
Yeah, like
that you're
with my car, with our car seat and the car, we have the stroller where it's like, it's one thing. It's a car seat and it's a stroller. Like, it's
You wanted to get the
get it done. Get it done. Let's go. Let's go back home. Like, I'm very, I'm very efficient.
So
when it comes to that,
I hear a lot of younger mothers talking about to vaccinate or not to vaccinate or to those shots.
Okay.
Yes.
What
do you? What do you?
He's up to date with everything. Okay. I did do the shots thing. I was kind of like hesitant on what I should do. The most recent one I was hesitant on was his flu shot.
I think he's agreeing with you.
Yeah. I didn't know if I wanted to do it, but I'm very like, asking the doctor questions, you know, as far as, what do they think personally and professionally. And this recent one, he just got his flu shot. Maybe like 3 weeks
ago.
Oh,
so you did get him his flu shot.
I did get him one.
Okay.
She told me her professional opinion, saying, you know, it's something good to have and blah, 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 blah. Then she told me her professional opinion about her getting the flu at her age, because she has, she can get it. She's a nurse, and she's like in her 40s, and she said she got really sick to the point where she couldn't even move or breathe. And then she told me a story about a young 4-year-old that didn't get a flu shot at all, and she's from California, and she died from having the flu. And that
scared you. Yeah, that scared you.
And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do the flu shot. So I ended up giving him the flu shot. He got a little
cold. At what age?
The little girl?
No, him.
No.
How he just got it like 3 weeks ago. 6 months?
Oh, so he did get it 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
He got it like 3 weeks ago, and he got a little cold, more of like a runny nose. But
that could have been
anything.
Yeah. Teething.
Right.
Yeah.
See, I'm so lost on the shots.
So, yeah, I was going to say, so how do you feel about the shots?
I don't know. I don't know what to do. Like, the stories, you know, we've read so many stories, and it's just like you don't know what to do. I feel that the first 6 months, those first, you know, three sets of shots from 2 to 4 to 6, those are important. But after that, you know, what do? I have girlfriends that said, hey, after, you know, when they turn a year, spread out the shots, especially the MMR, you know, measles, mumps, rubella, that shot. I have a girlfriend that I just found out she don't give her child no shots.
What?
And I said, you've been to my, you've been to my house.
She's my baby.
I just saw a show.
That's what I'm
about
saying.
That. Yeah.
But she decided not to.
She's
to
saying that
any.
Is any shots to her son. And I just, you know, I don't. That's still my girlfriend, but I just looked at her totally different. Like, why would you do that to your child? Mm-hmm. You know, your child needs some shots.
Sort of protection.
Yeah, and some sort of
not
protection.
Not to cut you off, but I saw something like on TV to where like the
don't say that.
I think he wants to be on the podcast.
So yes, he does. What I was watching,
he's got something to say. Over there.
Thank you. So what I was watching is the family whose child was sick. They were a carrier, but they weren't sick at all.
Mm-hmm.
But they gave it to other children, they're the ones that became sick. Yeah.
Wow.
So that even that type of information makes me like super nervous.
Do you feel that you're on information overload?
Yes.
It's just so much out there. It's so accessible.
It's so much out there. It's never ending. It's like it's a pool of information that doesn't end. It's an infinity pool of information. Yeah. But you know, you just have to. You know, I'm a big firm believer of faith, and you just have to pray about it and just, you know that your child is covered in the blood of Jesus. They're going to be fine. Just give them the shot.
I'm fine.
Okay.
So you're not there at this moment in time, but let's talk education.
Mm-hmm.
So what does education look like? What does education look like for you, Kai?
Bright.
Yes.
Very bright.
See, now he's being very social.
Yes, he is, because his cousin is here.
Because his cousin is here. And he sees her, so he's like, I just want to go over.
No, he's not paying her no mind. He just want to play.
So what does education look like? What are your concerns? What is the 21st century mom concerned with when it comes down to educating their children?
You know, I feel that, I mean, are you talking about just like early on?
In the early stage.
In the early stage. I mean, I think that it starts in the home. You know, I've already started a routine where she's going to, you know, she's teaching her little sign language, blah, blah, you know, eat, things like that. When they become, both of them are going to be doing it. Mom's going to be mad at me. But when they become two, you know, making flashcards, putting flashcards on everything, on the refrigerator, on the stove, on the table, on everything. Yes. See, I don't care.
There will be a flashcard.
And they will be able to read fully. They will be able to read all those words right there by the age of 4. I'm a firm believer of education, and nobody can take your education away from you.
That can be
so,
right.
Yes.
Tabin is fully reading.
So, amazing. I'm not going to be militant. I'm like, you got to sit here. No. You got to learn this. But I'm going to make it fun. I'm going to make it educational for them. You know, fun and educational for them. But I think it's important, you know, especially, you know, they black kids, you know, in the state of Georgia. They need to be on top of it. Right.
Yeah, I think people thought that I was crazy because I sent my son to private school his entire life.
Mm-hmm.
But as an African-American male,
I knew the importance of education. Mm-hmm. And without it, there would be such a tremendous struggle. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a struggle. There's going regardless. To be a struggle regardless.
Mm-hmm. But you know what?
But I wanted to make sure that not only did you have the basics, but you went above and beyond the basics.
Right.
Because you're going to need that much more in order to compete.
Yeah. You know, and I think that I was very pro private school. I experienced both. I experienced public school and I experienced private school in my life growing up. And, you know, I think it's a good balance to do the two. But to be honest, and I don't know if I ever told Ma this, you know, when we lived in Queens and I went to PS 30 and then we moved to Long Island, I knew more than what those kids in Long Island knew. And I went to PS 30, a public school. I knew more than what, and it was still a public school. It was in a rural area, but I knew more, you know, growing up in the city, you know, going to a rural area. And I just feel that it just, public schools are good.
I feel
you
like
just
they
have
need
to
that,
be
though.
Involved. I think yeah, parents' for sure. role mm-hmm. in the public school system is very important.
Yes.
You know, just be yes. involved.
We
and the teachers
involved.
Will know that yes. you care. And you can gain the same education or the same
from
tools
to
that you can,
school,
that you can go to private school.
School.
Yeah. I believe that. I do. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe that academies and, you know, private schools and, you know, charter schools, they're great. But if you're involved in your child's education and what they're doing in the school system, I think they're bound to succeed either way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's my opinion.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah.
I was very involved to the point where I was very exhausted because I was very involved.
Right. I know you
did. Going to games and plays.
Right.
But all of that has the effect on your child and your child's nurturing. And things of that nature.
That's one thing I can say. Public school wasn't even, private school wasn't even a thought for me.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Not
for
at all.
For him?
So mm-hmm. so you really? Know. That
what about charter play? School?
I wanted to do him in the charter school in the beginning, but private school was not.
Well, first of all, the private school tuition out here right. in the state of Georgia, it's like going to college.
And that's yes. all the kids in
$26,000 a year yeah. starting in kindergarten.
So, yeah.
Maybe a little bit
why
cheaper
so
than
much?
That. These private schools out here are crazy.
Yeah, they're very expensive.
It's
very,
insane.
Very expensive.
You have to take out financial aid for your kid to, go, to
go to
elementary?
No. Yeah. So now, do you plan on teaching your kids another language?
Yes.
Korean?
Yes.
What'd you say?
Teaching another language.
Yes. Well,
he's
going to
be because that's going to help
yeah.
them in the long run.
Absolutely.
Especially,
for sure.
I think
absolutely.
When they get to the point where they're starting to go out and be introduced to the job market,
mm-hmm.
that
it's
is
important.
It's
I wish
be
I
a requirement.
Really took it seriously.
I do too.
Me too.
I mean, I took six
yeah.
years of French and parlez-vous français?
I couldn't
is
tell
all
you
I
what.
Really
okay. It
yes.
is anymore.
I might
yes.
be able to read a little bit.
As long as I got the grade.
You know. But for the most part, you know, it's like they say, if you don't use it, you lose it.
You lose it.
Yeah. So do you think it's really different the way that you're parenting as opposed to the way that you were parented? Do you see, when you look in the mirror, do
yeah.
you see a reflection of your mom?
Yeah. Yeah,
I
well,
know. I see Gail.
Yeah, my mom.
And everyone tells me it's Gail, and I'm like, no, it's not.
I think I'm more of my dad.
And
I'm very lax, very chill.
My best friend came over the other day, and she was like, okay, Gail.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what did I say? You know, what did I do? Just your mannerism, just everything, and just. You know, my parents were good. Our parents were good in raising us, you know, as far as morals and values and,
I feel like
you know, just all. And it's just in us.
That's the both.
Yeah.
My mom was like strict. And, well, not with me.
She wasn't our friend.
With her. She was very
right.
like.
She wasn't your
you
friend. She was
this.
Your parent.
She was my
this.
Parent. They were our parents
yeah.
growing up. When I went to college,
yeah.
that's when me and my mother became best friends.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
but.
Because the dynamics of
yeah.
the situation
right.
changed.
But,
right.
oh, Lord, no. Growing up, that was she was the parent, and that
and
was
you
it.
Knew that she
and
was a
yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
do okay. So I have to ask this.
And I think it's different now in the 21st. I think that the parent, the moms are, you know, I don't know. They're trying, I don't know, to be their friends and talk to them as if they're equal. Not saying that they're equal,
they're
but
equal.
Just talking to them like. Okay, now, is this something that you want to do?
Yeah.
Okay, well, no, we won't do it because you don't want to do it right now.
No,
you know,
that's
it's
not
just,
parenting.
No, that's not parenting. Mm-mm. Get your behind.
I'm very,
get up
you know,
let's
get
go.
Up and let's go.
Yeah, I'm very, like, nonchalant, and I don't like to talk about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anything.
And I want to be better at that with him. I want to know everything that's going on. She's, how's your day going? What happened at school? What's
well,
going
see,
on?
And that was one of the things. But you have to realize something. Yeah. He's a male child.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And the older that they get, that the dynamics of that will change. Because
change
when Devin was growing up, I picked him up from school. Hey, how was your day? You know, talk to me.
I think that's important.
And I did
that
going in and coming out.
Absolutely.
But as he got older, teenager, you know, the conversations kind of twisted and changed and
became
were different.
Became quieter.
Yes, they became a lot more quieter. So, but I mean, he is a very calm baby. As it is now. So he may be a reflection of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so listeners,
what
you hear in the background is Harper. And she was expressing her opinion of her aunt.
That is Noah.
Oh. Yes.
She's trying to talk. I'm sorry.
That's okay. She's near her cousin.
Okay.
So things are a little bit different now. Mm-hmm. When I go to the Walmart, and sometimes I see those babies that are in the middle of the aisle, and they're screaming and tantruming. How do you plan on handling?
Like how we was raised, we have a talk
before we go into the store.
Okay?
Don't touch nothing.
Don't ask for nothing. Don't do nothing.
You have this talk and they get in, they still fall out on you. Kalisa do it every time. And ask you to walk away from her and act like she ain't even her baby.
And that's fine, you know, just being a kid, okay? But I've seen kids
that were just disrespectful.
And they're toddlers. Ridiculous. They're hitting their parents or snatching away from their parents. I don't want that. That's not what we're gonna
do. Good thing. No,
but you know, the people in general are just so different now too in the 21st century. Right. Back in the day, your kid do and they snatch something from you. You gonna see another parent? You gonna let her do that? And they expect you to do what you have to do to the child. No, people are calling defects on you.
They
if
are.
You go
Did
and
you
snatch your child up.
Baby? Right? Yes.
Yeah.
I've had
it. Or they will come up to you and say, "Excuse me, did you just do that to your child?" Yeah. They will be all in your business like that.
I had a call today where somebody called defects on somebody because the mother and the daughter were just having like a disagreement and I was just like it's crazy.
Yeah, it's just different.
We gonna talk. What's your problem? What's going on?
They buried their dog in their backyard.
Oh, that's how you buried your kid.
Yes. Oh, this is Georgia.
It's
just different. From old school to new school.
From the old school to the new school.
It is different.
So and you guys are seeing that like with your friends, and on a daily basis.
It's just on a daily basis. But then, like I said, you revert back and, like, you know, you want to go
back
to those ways that you were raised.
Very involved.
You know?
Like, my mom and my dad are very involved. So we have best of
both worlds.
Us, new school,
And I think that's the way that it should be.
Mm-hmm.
That there should be a combination of old school and new school.
Mm-hmm.
Because you guys turned out perfectly okay.
Thank you.
And I think sometimes we need to have those traditions as we're raising our children up.
Yeah.
And we need to have those standards, and I will say that they are standards, as we raise our children up.
Mm-hmm.
But ladies and gentlemen, that is all we have for today.
This
I
was
hope
so
that
enjoyable.
You
I loved it.
Enlightened by it. I know I learned a lot, and I hope that you learned something too. And as always, we hope that you embrace somebody else, and you encourage them in their substance of life.